it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your damn skippiest starts now. Happy Tuesday?
Yeah, kind of.
Upwards inflection question mark?
Speak, go die, Reginald.
Go die. Speak for yourself.
I want to wish you a happy Tuesday, but also I recognize.
I need a microphone. I can do this from across the room.
I'm actually very open to doing the show like this, if that's how it needs to be done.
Little studio audience.
Seth Payne standing in the corner yelling about stuff for the next 4 hours.
This is Marconi worthy.
This is how we solidify that. And they wonder.
Right. How could you wonder? All right, let's get going. On a Tuesday, Reaction Tuesday, after your Texans fall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a Liberty Whiteout, Monday Night Football, Island game, Peninsula game, actually, we took to calling it, 20-19, game-winning drive by Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if you don't mind, I'm going to call for the ball and ask for a little bit of an ISO right quick.
Okay.
I don't typically do this from John Lopez. I'm Reginald.
I'm going to ask for one in a minute, by the way.
All right, cool. We can just do that. I go offense?
I'm going to go in on
Somebody.
Phoenix Suns?
This is the Phoenix Suns of last year. That's right. All right. So, we've had people text in a number of times over the last week or so and say, well, when are you guys going to step up and say that this was a loss that falls on Caserio? And, I mean, we want to make sure that we cover the birth of it. But in thinking about that and thinking about Ron Show Hughley, who, you know, kind of in a tongue-in-cheek fashion has been, you know, whenever something happens, like, well, Bobby Slowick's got to get it together to point to the idea that, hey, a lot of things were put on Bobby Slowick's shoulder, but these things remain. I was sitting and I was thinking about those things and also just thinking about this game. And my overarching takeaway, 713-572-4610, the number to text, is that this game was an indictment of an offseason of hubris.
Mm-hmm.
Pure hubris, overconfidence, whatever word you want to use there. That's what this game was to me. You did not maximize the offensive line talent. You were hoping that you could just coach it up and you'd be able to get some things, and you end up seeing a almost 40% pressure rate for C.J. Stroud when you have the supposed desired offensive line, the supposed starting five that you wanted. That is the pressure rate that you ultimately succumbed to. You didn't maximize the offensive system, and you didn't maximize play calling experience because you went in and made the decision to have a Nick Caley. Is that going to grow and develop? Possibly. But these growing pains were to be expected. We talked about them.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, you probably could have been further along. And even if you were further along, you still would have had issues. And you did not improve the interior defensive line to make it more stout. And they ran the ball down your throat. This was an indictment of an offseason of hubris.
All right, give me the ball.
It's all you, Bubba.
Give me the lob. I'm in much the same vein as you. But I'm going to put it this way. The biggest problem with this offense, this team, is not Nick Caley. The biggest problem with this offense is not C.J. Stroud. The biggest problem with this offense is not the offensive line. Those are all problems. Those are all problems. Those aren't the biggest problems. The biggest problem with this team is Nick Caserio. Now, let's put it very frankly here. Nick Caserio, well-liked guy. We both like him. Obviously big on this station. You know, he talks about Silicon Valley and wrestling and cuts it up with the fellas and all that. That's all cool.
Still looking for his middle name.
We're still looking for his middle name. Probably not going to get it after this. We like him. But when things went bad last year, D'Amico Ryans, a defensive guy, trusted his general manager to fix the offensive side of the football. Now, you can talk about the interior defensive line, and that's valid. But let's talk about the offense. Because Caserio has grown up as an offensive player, as an offensive coach. He's been in the damn press box, you know, with the offensive coaches during games. He's an offensive guy. D'Amico trusted Caserio to do this, right? 100%. And what did he do? He thought the New England system would fix everything. He kept a lot of the John Carroll, the New England guys around. He brought in Nick Caley with the connections there and the John Carroll connections. He obviously could control the offensive side of the ball more with a guy like that. He could control sort of the direction and the strategy and the philosophy of this team. His offensive line evaluation was crap, at least for now. We can all sit here and say, hey, it's just two games. They're going to get better, development, all that stuff. Do you really think this team is going to get this offensive line, the more it gets pounded on, the more it gets worked, is going to get better? And, oh, by the way, let's talk about the draft. Juice Scruggs can't get on the field. Blake Fisher can't get on the field. Kenyon Green is gone. Whose picks were those? Those were Nick Caserio's picks. The biggest problem with this team today, reserving judgment for the great turnaround that everybody's hoping for, is Nick Caserio. They ranked 25th in pressure rate allowed. They ranked 31st in run blocking in the league. They ranked 31st in yards before contact. In other words, they're getting hit as soon as they're getting the ball. It's a personnel issue. It's a talent issue. And if you think that points to anyone but Nick Caserio, I can't help you. You're fooling yourself.
The only thing that one of the things that I'll push back on here is, and look, I understand how it sounds as I say it. I have to say it regardless. What we do know on record is that D'Amico has said, he's basically, I want all the smoke when it comes to the hiring of Nick Caley, right? So as much as I hear you on, you can easily connect some dots and look and say, Nick Caserio has influence here. At the very least, the head coach, as much as we take him at his word on this, says that this is my hire.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like that.
You mean the guy that went to John Carroll and coached at New England? That's D'Amico's hire?
I hear you. I hear what
you're
saying.
That's what you're saying? I'm not picking at you.
I'm
saying I understand what D'Amico's doing, and he's taking the responsibility, and good for him. This is Nick Caserio. This is Nick Caserio not doing the job on the offensive side of the ball, trying to get – Tom Brady is not walking through that door. He's in a press box in Las Vegas. All right?
We will talk about that.
Yeah.
And honestly – like, I am interested to see, and we will talk about this. Look, we got a lot of time. We got four hours. The phone lines will be open again at some point. So, but get involved with us, 713-572-4610. I still think that I'm waiting for C.J. Stroud to find some of that Tom Brady, and I understand how that sounds, but where he goes, all right, what we have as a system is cool. Mm-hmm. Allow me to go outside the bounds of it to make great plays and display my ability to make those great plays. I know that there's even people that are looking at C.J. Stroud and wondering if he can still make those great plays. But when he's kind of fenced in, as it feels like he is right now, we can't see that just yet. And look, that's more to be discussed. But I want to come back to the Nick Caserio of it all, because I agree in some regards. And one of the big ones is one that we felt strongly about. And I will admit, I tried to lay off a little bit. Because
I did too.
I don't want to talk
about
this
man.
All through training camp, all through the hopeful portions of the season. But look, man, when offensive line, the time to get better is the offseason. You don't get better at offensive line in the regular season. It doesn't really happen like that.
No.
You can't add more talent to an offensive line. You can't increase your talent ceiling in the offensive line in the season. Nobody's giving you a player of that talent at in the middle of the season. It just doesn't happen. And if it does, it's extremely rare, and it comes at great cost.
Yeah.
What you have talent-wise is what you have. I have great respect, and I quite enjoyed the times that I've talked to Laken Tomlinson. He ain't meeting the level, dog.
No.
He is not meeting the level. You did not go out and do that, and you were like, hey, we're going to have a different offensive line coach, and our technique is going to be better. What happens with your technique and your six play calling if you have the right system, but dudes are just getting blown by? Dudes are just getting moved. Dudes are not able to pick up blitzes. You can't fix that besides being better versions of these dudes, and I don't know that you have that within you.
Well, the thing is, you talk all the time. Every coach talks all the time about, it's the players, not the plays. It's the players, not the system. But then Nick Caserio comes in here and says, hey, the system is going to do it. The system is going to work. The New England system, my John Carroll guys, freaking, all the way through the offensive staff from Shaplinski, the quarterback's, whatever he is, his title is, John Carroll and
he's
the Patriots.
Offensive assistant, I believe. Senior offensive assistant.
Senior offensive assistant. John Carroll and New England. I'm not picking on this is all Patriots South and all that stuff. What I'm saying is that Nick Caserio has fooled himself into thinking that system, his way, his style, these guys that we're going to bring in with this experience are going to be good. They're not good. He brought in Trent Brown and Cam Robinson, who are not on the field. He brought in these draft picks who can't get on the field. He thought he would patchwork the offensive line with Ed Ingram and Laken Tomlinson. Laken Tomlinson got blown up on the goal line. Like, correct. He was moved from one hash mark to the other hash mark by Vita Vea when he made the tackle. This is a Nick Caserio problem. This is a production, I should say. This is on him.
He said it like it was a Spike Lee. This is a Spike Lee joint.
This is a Nick Caserio joint. There is no question about that, and there's no more avoiding it. Like, we, you know, I was giving him the benefit. I was like, well, let's see. You know, these guys, they looked okay in the pre. They did this and that. They are getting blown up. And to be sure, that's not to say Nick Caley is not an issue. He is. That's not to say C.J. Stroud is in his own head. He is. You heard the press conference last night.
And you will hear some of it again.
I've never heard or seen him, body language, tone, everything. You know, and that speaks to what you were just referencing. Like, the fact that, you know, they brought in this system, they give him more power, but then they don't give him the freedom to do the things he does best. You know what worked on the first drive? A script that let CJ be CJ. That ball to Nico Collins for the first touchdown. That was the CJ we knew. Trusting his receiver, putting it out there, letting Nico make a play. How many more targets did Nico have after that?
He ended up with 9. You called that. You
I meant
were
in
on
the first
money.
Half.
In the first half? Actually, I can get you that number.
I don't think it was very many. I don't think it was. I think he had two more after that. So, yes, when they say, hey, we got to give CJ the freedom to do his thing, and then you handcuff him again. This is Nick Caserio misjudging and mischaracterizing what the New England system can do for CJ Stroud.
3 first half targets for Nico Collins.
There you go.
Obviously, you had the one, which was the touchdown
yeah.
down the right side. I want to dig deeper into the CJ thing of it all
and
the
we
offense because I. The thing I want to stress here, and maybe you just say I'm just trying to sow seeds of hope because we have a long season. Possibly. You're 0-2, and we know the issues with being in that place, especially when you look across the AFC South, and there's a team over there that's 2-0 that now leads when it comes to, you know, futures odds for being the AFC South champion, right? Mm-hmm. I still think that there's places for this offense to find better execution, right? There's places for this defense to execute and tackle better that make this a team that can go and win games. But the problem that I've consistently had with the way that they handled this offseason and the way that they handled going into this 2025 season that admittedly and really we need to keep focus of had high expectations is the margins of professional sports are thin, right? They get paid over there too. They've got great players too. And so the whole job, I think, when you're building a team is to maximize your margin for error because things are going to go wrong. Other teams are going to make plays. And it feels like they, at any given point, they chose not to maximize their margin for error. The margin for error on this offensive line is these guys have to execute and maybe we get an average offensive line, right? Mm-hmm. Your margin for error with your talent, with your wide receivers and stuff. Now, of course, I understand you have some injuries, is we need young guys early on to come in and be really grab onto a system that admittedly is going to be a little bit more difficult because not only do they need to know their routes, they need to know the play design, they need to know the play intent. They need to pick. That's going to be harder earlier on in the season. CJ Stroud, even with the system, he has a lot of responsibility. He has a lot of things he's doing. We're trying to get him to speed things up, go through progressions early. There is a steep learning curve there as well. You did not minimize or you didn't maximize your margins for error.
No.
And so when you have errors like not being able to pick up a touchdown or get a touchdown, score 7 in the when you're on the goal line, when you're not able to pick up a 3rd-and-2 because Dario Gumbawale is getting blown up in pass pro, you're just not going to be able to win because your margin for error is already razor thin, and that's what it is in this NFL. That's what great personnel people do. That's what great coaches do, because coaching needs to come into question here as well, is maximize your margin for error. It's been very, very slim, and they haven't hit the mark in 2 weeks.
And you know what's funny? In a bad way, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers shuffled their offensive line yesterday, had 2 starters gone, and had a first-year play caller. That sound familiar?
I think I know a team that's in a similar circumstance.
And somehow it worked. They had the system that worked for their quarterback who got it done. There are so many levels of this and so many things we need to dig into, and CJ and Nick Haley and all that stuff. But I walked away from there thinking, you made this bed, man. You made this bed, Nick Caserio.
And the crazy thing about it is now you have 15 games still ahead of you that you need to find a way to, with those relatively slim or slimmer margins, you need to find a way to get this team up to executing at a higher level. It's a one-point loss. It's one that you still had opportunities to win. However, I don't think you can ignore the places in which you made this harder on yourself. Yes, you didn't go out and execute on the day. You set yourself up for this, for having those momentary instances of not executing, ending up with a loss, an embarrassing one on Monday Night Football, 20-19 versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and letting Baker Mayfield proverbially stick a flag in the middle of the field of your stadium. Yeah, we know that he is wont to do that. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going. The phone lines are open, 713-572-4610. I want to get a feel for how everyone feels about this game, because there's more to talk about. There's a ton to talk about, and we'll keep talking about the Texans next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.